Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. It's good to see you. The Lord's been good to us. The roof's not leaking. The heat's working. I tell you, Lord's blessing. I'm not stressing, huh? I tell you, we need to worship Him and thank Him for all His goodness and mercy to us. He's good to us. Before we begin worship, let's look at a few announcements. Bible study this week at 10 a.m. on Thursday. And coming up, March the 18th, the Eastern District Women's Auxiliary Convention at Sorecta. Next Sunday, the 19th, we'll have a ladies have a fundraiser meal, and everybody's invited to eat and make a donation. And that'll be next Sunday after worship. Deacons will meet on the 21st at 7, and choir practice 22nd. At 6:30. Easter's coming up. Sunrise service will be Sunday the 9th. Do we have any other announcements?
Yes. April 2nd, Palm Sunday, is the Women's Auxiliary pre-Easter service at 6:30.
Okay. All right, see Miss Linda or Bill for Community Magazine. Need that by today. All right. So converge upon them after worship today. All right. Any other announcements? Once again, we welcome all of you. Thank you for being present today, bringing this spirit of worship. And let's begin.
Everyone will please take your bulletins. We're going to stand and read the responsive reading together. Let us worship God, our light and our salvation.
The Lord is the stronghold of our lives.
We desire to live in God's house and to seek God in His holy temple.
We have come with shouts of joy to sing and to make music to the Lord.
Let us worship God in spirit and in truth.
Teach us your ways and make straight our paths in this hour of worship and always.
Lord God, we worship and praise you. We ask you to accept our shouts of joy as we sing and offer praise and worship to you, our holy God. Teach us today, Lord. Teach us and fill our hearts with your spirit. Lead, God, direct us and move us. That we can properly represent who you are as your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You'll remain standing and turn in your hymnals to 450. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Lift High the Cross. You may be seated. Ms. Billy Art has our scriptures this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, in the Old Testament, we'll be reading from Psalm 95, 1 through 7. Psalm 95, 1 through 7. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands form the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Mm-hmm. And in the New Testament reading will come from Romans 5, 1 through 11. Romans 5, 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out, into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us, that in while we were still sinners, he died for us. Since we have now been justified with his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Got that part.
Thank you.
We'll begin, continue to worship as we pray. Are there any needs we need to remember this morning?
Betty Stanley.
Betty Conway, all right.
Roger Becton family.
Any others?
Marcy,
okay. Mm-hmm. Any others? Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift these prayer requests up to you, Lord. And Lord, we trust you to work your will in these lives, in these sicknesses, Lord. And Lord, we're just so thankful for all your blessings we have. Dear Lord, just lift these up. And we just hope and pray that you'll work there, work your will in their lives. We're just asking you to be with us in this service. And Lord, we are so thankful to be in your house today. Lord, we just ask these things in your blessed and holy name.
Let's all turn to hymn 675, stand and sing verses 1, 3, and 4 of I Gave My Life for Thee.
We worship as we give. We give from a heart of love and the abundance that you provided to each of us. Accept these gifts. May your kingdom be established in Jesus. be magnified in all we do and say. Amen. You may be seated. Be seated. Today our text comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 27 through 29. Matthew 9, 27 through 29. Which the whole chapter is a great chapter, but we only have so much time, so we're going to focus on 27 through 29. Today we're beginning a new series called More Power to You. Anybody need any more power? It's about tapping into the potential of faith in your life. The Bible has a lot to say about faith. We read in the book of Hebrews, without faith it's impossible to please God. In the book of Romans we read that we're made righteous through faith. We're reading the Gospel of Matthew that if you have faith, nothing shall be impossible for you. Your faith is not just a list of things that you believe. It's not just about how you think. Your faith determines what you do, what you say, what you experience, what you get out of life, and what you can contribute to life. Now, there have been some people over the years who have preached about a faith in a way that tries to justify selfish, materialistic lifestyle. We know that's off base. But just because there's some guys that get it wrong, it doesn't give us an excuse for not getting it right. Amen? And the fact is that when you walk in faith, you will experience the blessings of God in your life. But more importantly, when you walk in faith, you will be empowered to be a blessing. There's a big difference in experiencing blessings and being a blessing. We all need to be a blessing in the lives of others. And that's what faith is all about. In Matthew 9, we read about some of the miracles of Jesus, and we see what faith can do. There's a story of a paralyzed man who was brought to Jesus by his friends. And when Jesus saw their faith, he healed the man. It was because of their faith that he healed the man. And there's a story of a suffering woman who touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus said to her, "Your faith has healed you." And there's a story of a synagogue ruler. We learn in the Gospel of Matthew, his name was Jairus. His daughter had just died, and Jesus went to the man's home, and the Bible says he raised her from the dead. And here in Matthew, we got this brief story about these two blind men who came to Jesus to heal them. And Jesus did. And he taught us a lesson about faith. It's a real short story. I want to read it. Matthew 9, 27 through 29. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And when he had gone outdoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. And when he touched their eyes, and said, "According to your faith, it will be done to you." And their sight was restored. Notice what he asked. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Our thought today in this message is, what do you expect? The goal of the series is to help us develop a faith-based mindset to begin expecting the blessing of God in your life. To begin to expect that God will help you, that God will protect you, that God will lead you and guide you, and that God will use you and work through you in spite of any obstacles that you may be facing right now. Anybody having any obstacles right now? A few of those there, huh? Well, nothing's impossible for God. Amen? And we need to expect that no matter what we face in life, that God is able to bring us out on top and to bless us and work through us and help us to be a blessing to others. Now, let us consider three principles of living in faith. Here's the first one. Principle number one. And being y'all said you had a few obstacles, okay? All right. The vacancy in your life is a call to start living in faith. In other words, where your provision ends, that is where your faith can begin. The vacancy of these men's lives were obvious. They were blind. They could not see. And this was not a problem they could solve for themselves. I doubt there was contact lenses or eye surgery or probably not even glasses. If they were, they were not like we have today. No eye doctors. And they were just pretty much stuck with their condition. And this vacancy was seemingly more than they could bear. What they needed was a miracle from God. I'm sure they had went everywhere they knew to go and done everything they knew to try, and they finally realized at this point in their life that they needed God, and it was at this point of their need that they had the opportunity to start living in faith. And it's the same for us. When we have a vacancy in our lives, when you have a vacancy in your life, when you face obstacles that are beyond anything that you can solve for yourself, It is at that point that we must begin to live in faith. You may have a sense of a vacancy in the area of relationships, in family relationships, your personal relationships. You may want to share your life with someone, but yet that person hasn't shown up. Or there may be people you want to share in your life, but they don't want to share in yours. And sometimes we're helpless in that. Some of you already have a spouse, but you may have a sense of vacancy in your marriage. It's not all what you thought it was going to be. And, you know, even though you work and try, you seem to be at wit's end. And if you could solve this problem on your own, you'd have done it long ago. But you're helpless to do anything about it. You need God to intervene. Some people struggle with a vacancy in financial situations. I know as a nation we're struggling there. I read this morning that a bank out in Silicon Valley had been shut down. Financial problems. Or maybe your job situation. I don't know. Wherever there's a vacancy in your life, you've done everything that you know to do, but it's just simply not enough. Anybody ever been there? Four people. Okay. Five. All right. You need God's help. It's at this point of helplessness that you have the opportunity to start living by faith. I would go so far as to say that maybe God allows these vacancies to occur in our lives so that we can learn to rely on Him and to trust Him. When we learn to trust Him, it is then that His power is demonstrated in our lives. Real, authentic kingdom power. Do you feel helpless about anything? Do you feel like there's something that's just missing in your life? Do you have a vacancy that you can't fill by your own strength? Start expecting God to do something about it. And remind yourself that God is in control and that He loves you. And that He wants to provide for you. He hasn't forgot about you. He knows your condition. He's waiting on you to turn to Him, to trust Him, to put your faith in His power. This vacancy in your life, this sense of helplessness, it's a call to put your faith into action. And here's the second principle I'd mention to us this morning. God responds to your faith. We see this in every miracle story. In Matthew 9, especially the story of the two blind men, Jesus asked them, "What do you expect? What do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. And He touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, it'll be done to you. Not according to your needs." Not according to your wants. Not according to what's popular. Not according to what the latest fad is. But according to your faith. Jesus is saying that you will receive from God what you expect to receive. These men received their sight because they had faith that Jesus could heal them, that He would heal them. And they acted in accordance with their faith. The question is, what do you expect from God? What do you believe that God is able to do for you? What do you say in your heart? Well, there's no God, there's no way God can fill my vacancies. There's no way that God can do this for me. There's no way that God can provide for me. I don't deserve it. I'm too unworthy. You ever thought like that? I'm challenging you to raise your level of expectations. Look at the needs in your life and practice saying, God can do something about this. God is able to do something about this. And God will do something about this. God, I'm trusting you and I'm placing my faith in you. We see this time and time again in the gospel. Jesus responds to faith. In Matthew 21, he said, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. He went on to say in Matthew 17, if you have faith as small as that of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, I could hold a mustard seed up here, and you couldn't even see it. That's not much, is it? And that's why he said in today's text, according to your faith, it will be done to you. God responds to your faith. What does that mean? What kind of faith does he respond to? We'll talk more of that as time goes on. But today let's talk about where faith begins. Faith begins with an attitude of expectation. An expectation that God will work things out for the best. The expectation that God is, and he is in control of his kingdom. A kingdom that has great power to work and move among the lives of his people. Even when the bottom is falling out from under you, faith is having confidence that God will see you through. And that he will ultimately bring good things into your life. An Indian philosopher once said, faith is the bird that feels the light when the dawn is still dark. Faith begins with an attitude of expectation. It also includes corresponding actions. In the miracle stories of Matthew, each person Jesus healed put themselves in a position to be on the receiving end of a miracle. The paralyzed man's friends brought him to Jesus. The suffering woman itched her way through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment. The synagogue leader invited Jesus to come into his home. The two blind men approached Jesus, not one but twice. When they saw him on the street, they began following him, calling out to him, have mercy on us, son of David. And when he went indoors, they continued to follow behind him. What were they doing? They were positioning themselves for a miracle. They knew they would never be healed if Jesus was on that one side of town and they were on the other. They knew they would never be healed if he was on the inside and they were on the outside. So they kept after him. They were positioning themselves for a miracle. And many times we don't receive the benefits and the blessings God desires us to have. It's because we're not willing to move. Well, like the man said, we'd rather just sit on our blessed assurance. We're not willing to move and position ourselves to where we can be in a position to receive all that God has for us. Faith includes corresponding actions. It's an action word. And you have to look for ways to demonstrate your faith. If you want God to save your marriage, you've got to put yourself in a position where God can bring that to pass. Talk to your spouse. Treat your spouse as you would if you were happily married. I know y'all did that this week, didn't you? If you want God to provide you a job, take steps to make it possible. Polish your resume. Pursue opportunity. Move yourself into a position where God can bless you. You get the idea. Faith begins with an attitude of positive expectation in the goodness of God, and it is increased with corresponding actions. Now listen, let me tell you what won't work when it comes to faith, all right? Whining and moaning and griping and complaining about what you need or what you don't have or what they got and you ain't got and what isn't good enough, that's not going to get it. That's not going to get it. That is the opposite of expecting God to bless us. That is the opposite of faith. God cares about your needs and he wants to meet them. He cares about the desires of your heart and he wants to give them to you. There's no question about that. But we must understand that God responds to our faith. The third principle we need to understand is you can go as far as your faith is strong enough to take you. I read about a man named Jim. Jim came into some money. Oh boy, things were never better in his life. He got that money because he'd always been plagued with financial troubles. He'd failed in business several times. He filed bankruptcy. But he had this windfall, man. He had this big pile of money come in, and life couldn't be any better. Finally, he was financially secure. The problem was that Jim never believed he was the kind of guy who could be financially secure. So what did he do? He began by making a long list of foolish investments. And he bought himself a new Corvette. Man, he was living the life. And a couple years, he dead broke again. And he said to a friend, he said, "What else would you expect of me? I've never been good with money." You know, that's what happens with most lottery winners. If you follow that story, most of them end up broke pretty quick. It also happens with a number of people who try to lose weight. They gain it all back then some. Why do things like this happen? Why? One reason is that many people, in spite of their improved circumstances, never learn to change their expectations about what is possible for them. You can only go as far as your faith is strong enough to take you. In the Message version of the Bible, Jesus' words to the blind men are expressed in a unique way. When Jesus got home, the blind men went in with him. Jesus said to him, "Do you really believe I can do this?" And they said, "Yes." "Why, yes, Master." He touched their eyes and he said, I like the way it's phrased in the Message, "Become what you believe." That's strong, isn't it? Jesus said, "Do you believe I can do this?" They said, "Yes." He said, "Well, become what you believe." If you believe that God is for you, if you believe he's working out the details of your life, even in difficult situations, for your good, for his glory, you will experience this in your daily life. If you believe that God is at work in you, changing you, making you holy, conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ, you will experience this in your life. If you believe that God is waiting to pour out his blessing upon you, that he's eager to fill your life with good things, you will experience this in your life. On the other hand, if you believe that life is a cruel joke and you're not going anywhere, no matter what you do, it don't matter, and nothing good is going to ever happen or come your way, and everybody's against you, and everything you do is wrong and don't turn out right, from what I've noticed, this is what you'll experience in your life. You'll become what you believe. According to your faith, it will be done to you. Now, that's what Jesus said, not Joe. You can only go as far as your faith is strong enough to take you. Before you get that financial windfall, before that special person enters your life, before that job opportunity comes along, you need to develop a deep and abiding faith in the goodness of God. You need to develop a faith in his ability to take care of you, his ability to change you, his ability to see you through, because your circumstances will not change you. It's your faith in God that will change you. And you will become what you believe, and it's your faith in God that will change your circumstances. And in conclusion, I read a story that was published some time ago in the New York Times. It was about a study done by a group of doctors in Texas. It goes kind of along this theme. What do you expect? The study focused on patients who required knee surgery. Two groups of patients received different kinds of medical treatment. Third group received a pretend surgery in which no procedure was actually done. You get that? Pretend. We're going to pretend. We're playing doctors, but we're pretending. All right. Well, they didn't know that, but it was a pretend surgery. 2 years went by, and the patients who underwent the pretend surgery reported the same amount of relief from pain and swelling as those who had received the actual treatments. True story. True study. Why? Because their brains were conditioned to expect great things and improvements in their situation. And they experienced improvement. Now, if this can occur on a natural level, how much more do you think it can occur on a spiritual level when you've placed your faith in an all-powerful, all-loving, almighty God? I don't know. Maybe today there's some of you in need of a miracle. Maybe you need your sight restored, or your health restored, or your finances restored, or your family restored, or your business restored, or your hope restored. Maybe you need for God to move in your life and to do things that you know you can't do for yourself. I want you to know this is where the life of faith begins. It begins when we pursue a relationship with Jesus. I can't restore you, but Jesus can. And my desire is that each one of you and we as a body of believers will grow exceedingly in our faith, that we will get in the habit of expecting the good things from God, the best things from God, believing that God wants to bless us, that he wants to demonstrate his goodness and his mercy and his power where we're most vulnerable, where we're most helpless, where we have the greatest vacancies in our life. According to your faith, it will be done to you. This means that you can go as far in life as your faith is strong enough to take you, because you become what you believe. So, beloved, let us put our faith in Jesus to take God at his word, especially in the areas of our greatest needs, and let him work his power in us. Let us believe great things, think great things, expect great things, do great things. Expect his kingdom power in our lives now and forevermore. Amen?
Amen.
What do you expect? Father, we thank you today for your word and for your Holy Spirit who opens our hearts and our minds that we can receive it, and that it can work the fruits of righteousness in our lives. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all stand and turn to hymn 344. Sing the first two verses of Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Yeah.
Again, it's good to worship with you today. Thanks for bringing this spirit of worship. Don't forget the announcement, especially next Sunday, the lunch. Everyone's invited. And the community magazine today is the deadline on that. See Linda Jenkins or Bill Hawkins if you'd like to receive that. Anybody else have anything to say before we leave? All right. Lord, we thank you that we have this day that set aside when we can come together for a time of worship. Service begins. We leave and go into the world. We pray your spirit would go with us and empower us to be your people, to be a blessing in someone's life. May the things that we do and may the faith that we have position us in such a way that Jesus will be magnified, that we can see your power at work every day that we live, and give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hmm.